this time, did it? All right, that's good. This is a very special day that we're looking forward to. And this afternoon, Brother Marcus Spiegler is going to be leading our adults. Ken Hall will be leading our youth. And Angie Boyston will be leading our children in a breakout session. That's going to start at 1 o'clock. So if you don't want to eat that three-course meal I've prepared for you, and you want to go eat something different and come back at 1 o'clock, that will be okay. I will look down upon you, but that will be okay. Brother Marcus, it's kind of special to have him here with us today. He's over our division of Sunday School Department, correct? I didn't write down your official title, but he's over that area. And there's something I'd like to kind of throw into this picture. They're bringing the whole team to State Line Baptist Church. We have around 50, 52 in Sunday School. But our state cares about all sizes of church. And so because they care about all sizes of churches, they care about you. And the size church where we're in is just as important as any other size church. You are special people. And what God has given us a calling to do is to be the very best where we are. And when we're doing the very best that we can do, then we offer up a sacrifice of praise unto God. Brother Marcus, come and bless our heart.
Thank you, Brother Robert. Thank you, church, for the invitation to be with you today in Columbus. I got up before the sun rose this morning in Jackson, Mississippi, and made my way north, and I'm so happy to be with you. I do have the pleasure and the honor of serving Mississippi Baptist, which consists of 2,100 great Mississippi Baptist churches, 2,100 of you. And then I also have the privilege of serving a single church as interim pastor, First Baptist Church of Canton, just north of Jackson. Brother Robert contacted me several months ago. He's a good planner. Did y'all know that? Most folks don't plan that far ahead. But I'm glad he does. That's good. I'm going to talk about good administration today. And it's important to have a good church, to have a good administrator. He called me 6 months ago and he said, Brother Marcus, we're going to have a year's emphasis in 2020 on the Bible. And we're going to talk about reading the Bible. And going along with that, I need to get our folks, all of our folks, involved in Bible study. I said, Brother Robert, you and I both know, tried, proven, tested, all along Southern Baptist Way, what made us great was our emphasis on the Bible. And he said, I know that, Brother Marcus, and that's what we want to do. So he's invited all of you to have a scripture and to have a chronological reading going on this year, and I encourage you to do that. And I'm here today to encourage and challenge every one of you to be involved in Sunday school. Or maybe another word for that, if you don't like Sunday school, is be involved in systematic Bible study. You say, well, Brother Marcus, why do I need to do that in a classroom setting at my church with other believers? Because we grow best when we grow together. If my class is doing what it's supposed to do as far as teaching the Bible and building community, building fellowship, building service opportunities, then we have a holistic approach to growing together. And I'm here today to encourage every one of you that it's important that we grow together. With that being said, Charlie Brown and Lucy came on the scene. Lucy came by Charlie Brown's shop one day, and Charlie Brown was hammering and sawing and cutting away, and Lucy said, "Charlie, what you doing?" I'm building a birdhouse. She said, "Well, how's it going?" Charlie said, "Lucy, I'm a terrible carpenter. I cut my finger. I pulled the screw up too tight and split the wood. I can't saw straight. I'm just a terrible carpenter." Lucy said, "Well, looks okay to me, Charlie." And Charlie said, "Well, all things considered, Lucy, I think it's going to be a birdhouse." For years and years and years, Southern Baptists, Mississippi Baptists, to make it more personable, has had great success growing churches and evangelizing and baptizing converts through a single ministry that you and I know as Sunday School. No other ministry that we've had as Baptists has produced the growth, has produced the baptisms, has produced the offering. No other ministry other than Sunday School has produced for us what it has produced. More people have been won to the Lord through the Sunday School than Vacation Bible School or discipleship or church music or WMU. It was Sunday School that made us what we are. I remember those goals, and Brother Robert, maybe he'll remember more than I do, but I was told about this one, but I don't necessarily remember it. I'm not quite that old. But I was told that the goal in 1954 was to have 1 million more Southern Baptists in the United States. And they said, "We're going to do that through the Sunday School." Well, along about 1980, they had a goal, 8.8 million in 80. And you know, they pushed that, and they were able to reach those goals through the Sunday School. Today, I want to tell you why, from my heart, why I believe every one of us need and can be involved in Sunday School, and what it will not only do for you, but what it will do for your class, and what it will do for your church, and more importantly, what it will do for the kingdom. Amen? We're kingdom business people, right? Amen? Good. Biblically speaking, you say, "Brother Marcus, from a biblical perspective, what would you tell me about Sunday School that would be a word from the Lord, maybe about why the challenge or why the encouragement in Bible study?" If you have your Bible today, or if you want to look on your phone, you can turn to Deuteronomy with me. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, verse 11. "When all Israel is come to appear before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose, thou shalt read this law before all Israel in their hearing. Gather the people together, men, women, children, and thy stranger that is within thy gate, that they may hear, that they may learn, and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children which have not known anything may hear, and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land whither ye go over Jordan to possess it." Church family, the instruction is clear. The writer of Deuteronomy says that today we need a good, healthy fear of the Lord God. Do you fear God? You ought to. God does good, and He does good for good, and He does good for those who's trying to do good. But I believe the Bible teaches that God punishes those that don't do as well too. Amen? You ought to fear that. You ought to have a healthy fear that God wants you to do right. And it would cause you to do right. Amen? Now, in Bible study, in biblical times, the Bible says, the writer says, we want to gather all the people together. And then what does he say? Number one, gather the men. Number two, the women. Number three, children. And number four, stranger or visitor or guest that is within thy gate. Bring them to Sunday school. Bring them to Bible study. And he said to do it in that order. Work on those men first. If you get the husband or the man or the head of the household, the chances go up 70 times that you're going to reach the family. The man, the woman, the children, and the strangers. Work on that man first, and then the mother, and then the children, and then the guest. And then what does he say to do once we get involved in Bible study? That they may hear the word, that they may learn the word, and that they may fear the Lord your God and observe to do all the words of this book. That's what we're here for. That's what we do Sunday school for. If I were to share a New Testament scripture with you this morning, I'd ask you to turn over to the book of Acts. The book of Acts. Would you look at Acts chapter 2 with me, beginning at verse 42. Acts 2, 42. And they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayer. And fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Good references, church family, about why we all ought to be involved in Sunday school. So how is your Sunday school going? Let's bring it home to state line. Are you involved? Do you get on the horn or text or email or Facebook every week? Your class members or your classmates to say, hey, I'm praying for you. How's it going this week? I love you. Thank you for being a part of what we're trying to do in the kingdom at State Line. Are you doing that? How is it going? How is Bible study going at State Line? You say, Brother Marcus, I'm a 2 out of 4-er. I come about 2 out of 4 Sundays. Let me tell you why I'm here to challenge you to be your best. I believe that God gave His very best for you and for me. And it was so good it was so good that he said, I'll take on the sin of the world and die so that you might live. Now, to me, that dictates, Brother Robert, that I ought to give my very best. I ought to give excellence to everything that I do for the kingdom. I even heard one preacher say one time, when it comes to kingdom work, we ought to be perfectionist. 52 out of 52 Sundays, we ought to give our very best to the Lord. Because that's what God gave. He gave His very best. Today, I'm going to give you just a one simple step at the close of this sermon that if all of you will do today, it'll double your Sunday school effort in 2020. You say, Brother Marcus, 50%? We're going to bring out some chairs this year? Yes. That's what I'm telling you. And it's just a little simple approach that if you will join Brother Robert and join the effort here for Bible study, it'll double the kingdom work at State Line. It'll double it. I want to trek to the secular side and just for a few minutes, if I may, and offer just a few points before I give you that one final point in doubling your Sunday school and ask you to be a part of that. Let me just ask you here today, how many of you have ever had the opportunity to go to Disney World? Anybody here? Wow. I'd say that's a vast majority of this congregation. You've got a rich congregation, Brother Robert. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. I'm glad. I had an opportunity a couple of years ago to go to Disney World. And I had an opportunity to go by special invitation. And I was invited to see what I was told that most people never get to see. I saw Underground Disney. I was told that most people never get to see Underground Disney, but everything that happens above ground first happens and is supported below ground. The tunnels, the rooms, where the stairs, the elevators that came out of the ground was phenomenal. What they were doing with Mickey and Minnie Mouse underground, getting them ready for you to look at them and hug them and kiss them, was phenomenal. I went about my two-day visit taking notes, learning from what I consider to be one of the greatest all-time businesses, entertainment businesses, about what I saw, and came back to sit down and analyze that. And I said, you know, that underground effort at Walt Disney World has some implications about what we're trying to do in Sunday school. And so I made a few points, a few quick notes, if I may, to share with you about what I saw. Number one, I discovered from what I saw underground at Disney World, if you're going to be a success in the entertainment business, if we're going to be the very best for Christ that we can be and do all He wants us to do, the first thing you and I are going to have to do, like Walt Disney did, you're going to have to see the big picture. Bring it down home for me, Marcus. Friends, the world is lost, dying, and going to hell. And until we see that and get a burden on our heart, we may not give our best for Christ. when we catch that vision, then we're going to get busy, because it's time. It's the difference in life and death. And Christ said, I'm leaving this job for you. I'm leaving, you're my disciple. I'm leaving it for you, Brother Rob. I'm leaving it for you. This is your assignment. And until we all take that seriously, we'll never see the big picture. Do you see the big picture? The world needs you. There are people that God has placed on mine and your heart by name, and you know who I'm talking about, that no one else but you will ever have an opportunity to share a good word about Christ. Just you. Just you. Don't miss that opportunity. Don't put that blood on your hands. Do what Christ asked you to do. Number one, I learned that, like Walt Disney World, I've got to see the big picture. I've got to see a lost world, and I got to have a burden in my heart for them. Number two, never, ever forget the details. If you go to Disney World and you look at that place is phenomenal. Manicured to the T. Every color seems to be in place. Everybody shows up at the right time, and we have the best time, the best family time in the world. Never forget the details. Like Brother Robert, being a good planner, a good administrator, don't forget the details. I'm going to give you a detail about Sunday school that's important for every one of us this morning when I close. I'm going to give you an assignment. It's a detail. And I'm going to ask you, never forget the details, because they are important. The third thing I would say, what I learned by going underground at Disney World, I learned to live in the future tense. I don't think that's a problem for you or for your church, because you're a young church. And I don't necessarily see, from what I've just observed in the last 2 hours, that you're bound by tradition. A lot of our Baptist churches are so bound by their tradition that they can't live in the future tense. I have not noticed that here. You don't have that to overcome, but trust me, a lot of our 2100 Baptist churches, they can't get in the future tense. Many of them can't even get in the present. They're trying to operate in the past. It won't work. The world is changing so fast that if we don't join the world and at least come alongside of some of those changes, our church cannot progress. Stay in the future tense, church. Sing those good songs like you sang this morning, and you sang like it was from the bottom of your heart. God bless you. That's good. It didn't matter if you could sing or not. You sang. That's good. That's good. That's real good. Just let her fly. The Lord blesses all that. He does. And I'm proud that you would do that. Live in the future tense. My fourth point that I learned from Disney World, communicate the vision to others. Communicate the vision to others. This morning, this effort, this worship time was designed by your pastor, put on his heart from God, to encourage you to be a part of the vision of winning boys and girls, men and women, to Jesus Christ through Sunday school. That's what he wanted. And I'm encouraging you, get on board with the vision at State Line and do your part. And don't be absent at all. Be present. Be supportive. You can count on me. I'm going to do my part. I'm going to give all I have because that's what Christ gave for me. Give all that you have. Communicate the vision to others. My fifth point that I learned, let people know how important they are. You know, one of the key objects that I've learned in my years of church ministry is this. The pastors that I've seen to be most successful and the Sunday school teachers that I've seen to be most successful with their classes are people that know how to pat people on the back. Well done. Johnny, I'm so proud of you. I had a little boy, and we got to talking before church back there this morning. I shouldn't call him a little boy. He's a young man. He's probably 10 years old, if I had to guess. I discovered this morning that he was visiting your church from Grenada. He had a smile this wide. He had never seen me. And he was lighthearted, jovial. And I couldn't help but compliment that young man, although I'd never seen him or never met him, about his great personality. I just had to pat him on the back. I just had to say, son, you got things going for you. And I'm telling you, when all of us do the same and find that in our people, it will revolutionize our church. Look for the good. The world is looking for the bad. You look for the good. Find the good in your neighbor. It is important. And it will make a great difference in your church. Let your people know how important they are. My next point is this. Language, what I say, what you say is important. Mama used to tell me that it didn't take but one bad apple to ruin the bushel. It's something about that process, that formation process, when that gets started in the bushel, it just goes through the whole bushel and creates a big mess. In a lot of our churches today, it's a big mess. Because somebody's not happy. You didn't say a bunch of people, Brother Marcus, were not happy. You said somebody. Did you hear me? Somebody's not happy, and they're letting everybody at church know it. Don't be that person. You're only hurting yourself. And you're only hurting God's kingdom work. Be positive about what's going on in your church. Sunday school. Language is important. My next point, always be enthusiastic. Always be enthusiastic. That little young man I met this morning, 10 years old, I could catch his enthusiasm from his smile. I caught it, and it didn't take me long. Now, do you want your church to act like you? No, then I'm going to act better, right? I'm going to do better. Be enthusiastic. I baptized a little 10-year-old girl. In fact, the young man that I talked to said he was baptized 2 weeks ago this morning, and he was just as excited about that as he could be. He was baptized 2 weeks ago. Well, 2 weeks ago, I baptized a little 10-year-old girl. She wasn't quite as tall. The little young man that I spoke to in your church this morning said, "Brother Marcus, they put me on one brick so the preacher wouldn't have to hold me out of the water." I said, "Son, don't feel bad. I put that little girl I baptized on two bricks." Be excited. Be enthusiastic about what you're doing. My next point. Feel deeply about your subject. Are you passionate about your church? Are you passionate about your church? Are you passionate about what God did in your heart? There's a lot more caught than taught. Amen? Did you hear what I said? There's a lot more caught than taught. You know what I said about that little 10-year-old girl when I baptized her 2 weeks ago? I said, "Church family, Adeline is her name. She just wants to be like you." "Oh, I'm not sure I want Adeline to be like me, Brother Marcus." But I say it, that person seated to your left and to your right, they just want to be like you. Especially our children and our students. I say we ought to give 110% so they can be all God intended them to be. Amen? 50% attendance won't get it. It teaches 50% commitment. Not acceptable. Just not acceptable. If we're all in, let's be all in. If we're out, let's be out. Let's teach them the truth. It is important. They just want to be like us. Now let's give our very best. My next point, never change. When God saves you, and you get on the right track, be consistent and never change who you are. Don't flip-flop. Be who you are. Be who you are. The next and final point I'm going to make this morning, get people to help you who like people. I don't know if you noticed when you were at Disney World or not, but the people working at Disney World had the biggest smile, and every one of them, kind of like at Chick-fil-A, have you ever noticed? "How may I help you? How may I help you?" It just seems like they couldn't do enough for me. "How may I help you?" Chick-fil-A's just like that. Their employees, it's all about customer service. When someone comes in the door at State Line Baptist Church, every one of us ought to give our best customer service so that they know they're important. Every one of us, we ought to have a big old smile and a great handshake and say, "We're glad you're here." When they come to our Sunday school class, Folks, the days of coming three Sundays in a row to get your name on the roll is over. We put them on the roll when they show up and say, from now on, you can count on this class to be your best friend in your Christian walk that you've ever had on earth. This is it. You have arrived. We ought to know that we're doing the very best for our people. It is important. It is important. Get people to help you who like people. You saying, Brother Marcus, is there one or two in our churches that don't like people? Just one or two. Not many. Just one or two. You say, Brother Marcus, how do I get people to help me? What do I need them to do in my Sunday school class to prove that they like people? Get people to help you in your class. Be in contact, in touch with people. People who like people don't mind calling people. People who are introverted don't like to call people. Get you some extroverts, and they'll be more than happy to help you grow your class. I like people. I really enjoy being in church because I love people. And I want to see them grow to be the very best they can be. Now, I'm going to close with this, and we're going to go eat that three-course meal together. You say, Brother Marcus, you promised us one point. One thing that we could do to double our attendance in 2020. One. And it's real simple. But every one of us are going to have to be a part of it if we're successful. Everybody. And I'm challenging you today to become a part of the great outreach effort of the kingdom of God. That's how Baptists built this great church known as Southern Baptist Churches all across our land. This is how they did it. I'm not sure we're doing as good a job at it today as we once did. Here's how they did it. It's very simple, and I'm going to ask you to become a part of it if you're not. Here it is. Every member and every guest is to be contacted by someone in the class every week. I want to say it again. It's not hard. It doesn't require a college degree. Probably not even a GED. But here it is. Every member and every prospect or guest should get a contact from someone in the class every week. You say, Brother Marcus, define that contact for me. Well, it could be a personal visit. It could be a phone call. It could be a pecan pie or a chocolate chip cookie. It could be a Facebook post. It could be Instagram or Twitter. It could be a text. It doesn't matter. What's important is that they got a contact that says somebody thinks I'm important enough that I need a contact that they're expecting me to be at State Line Sunday morning, and how is life going? We're building community. It's as simple as that. If I feel like you care about me, and want me, I'm much more likely to respond positively than if you don't care and don't want me. So see, everybody here can be a part of God's kingdom work. Every class ought to give every class member 4 or 5 people's names and phone numbers and say, folks, here's your 4 or 5 every week. Every week, let's reach out. By doing that, we're going to double God's kingdom work here at State Line in 2020. Will you join me for that work? Say, uh-huh. Good. Thank you. Thank you. May we pray? Lord, we're so blessed to be a part of the kingdom work that involves salvation for each of us and for men and women and boys and girls that we come in contact with. Lord, would you burden our hearts that this is about eternity? This is about where people are going to spend forever. This is about the greatest life, not only here on earth, but in heaven. This is about the greatest Savior who has ever lived or will ever live. The only true living Savior today, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray today that you'd help us to accept the challenge to come alongside the responsibility of bringing lost people to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And Lord, help us understand and put a passion in our hearts that we can do this through our Sunday school, through our church. Help us to give 100% effort. And if we're giving any less, Lord, help us today to say, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm going to do better. Today, I'm going to do better. Lord, bless the end of this service and our time today in fellowship and training. And use it to undergird your kingdom work here at State Line. For I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Brother Robert.
Thank you, Brother Marcus. The challenge is before us. Once you hear, then you got to make a decision. Got to make a decision. And I trust that each one of us will make a positive decision. I know in our Sunday school class, just well, get ready, Ronnie. Are you a people person? You got 4 coming. All right. And that's what we're doing. We're going to be sharing together. But what's all this about? It's about coming to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. He said, do what? He said, number one, make disciples. And disciples come in all sizes, shapes, and forms. And you know what? What I was thinking about just a few minutes ago, it's coming in different forms. For instance, y'all see Danny and Marilyn over here? Would y'all raise your hand? They were out last week because of physical reasons. What if you would have had something that you could have shared together with this congregation? Would you have liked to had that? In other words, go on Facebook and be a part of this message that happened this morning. Would you like that? You see Mr. and Ms. Holloman over here, would y'all raise your hand? How would y'all like to be a part? They had to miss a couple of weeks because of health reasons. Would y'all like to be a part of this group on Sunday? And James over here, James Williamson, would you raise your hand? James is helping us make that happen. He's our consultant. We're going to make that happen. Why? I have the vision of We're a small group, but let's stay connected. Whether you're in the walls or outside of the walls, let's stay connected. For instance, like Laura, their Sunday school class is happening this afternoon, right? Her Sunday school meeting on Sunday afternoon, because that was the time in which they could all get together at that. We come in different sizes and shapes and forms, but we want to stay together as a family so that we might know what? So that we might know Jesus Christ. James keeps telling me the purpose of streaming is for people to get the message. Get the message. That's what we want people to do, is get the message. Now, I don't know about you, but I know my toes are a little bit sore this morning. That preacher had a way of stepping on my feet. And I'm glad. I'm glad. Because all of us need to fess up sometimes. We need to fess up. And maybe right now, some of us need to fess up. Well, confess. You know, fess up. We say that in New Hope. Well, we gotta fess up, you know. What about you? Maybe this morning you would like to fess up to God. Repent of your sins and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart, be your Lord and Savior. That's what it's all about. And giving Him your best. I'm going to be standing down front here. If you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart this week, I want you to come down and just share that with me so we can celebrate. Or if you'd like to ask Jesus Christ, you need somebody to pray with you, I'll be glad to pray with you. I'll be standing down right down here. Prayer altars are going to be open. If we double in size in 2020, some of y'all are going to have to scoot over. Make it happen. I believe we can. SS Retro. It's kind of interesting, that Sunday school retro going back. 1950 or more, a million more in 54. I was one of those. I was born a Baptist that year. And I think my mom and daddy took me to church that year. I don't remember it, but I think they did. A million more in 54. I wonder how many in 2020 can we reach for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother, are you going to lead us in a song this morning?
Yes, I am.
What song is that?
Jesus. All that Jesus saves.
It's another
name.
Jesus saves. I think that's something to celebrate. People make decisions. Let's stand together and sing.